Okay. Welcome to the Tuesday, May 28, 2019, regular closed session meeting of the East Bay MUD Board of Directors, convening today at the Castro Valley Library on Norbridge Avenue in Castro Valley. Roll call, Madam Secretary.
Directors Katz?
Present.
Coleman?
Present.
Patterson?
Present.
Lenny?
Here.
Mellon?
Present.
McIntosh?
Here.
President Young?
Here. Is anyone here to present public comment? No. The board will now discuss closed session agenda item 1A and request that only those participating in the closed session meeting remain in the room. Our regular meeting is set to begin in this room at 2:30. Thank you. Welcome to the Tuesday, May 28, 2019, regular business meeting of the East Bay MUD Board of Directors. We're convening today in Castro Valley at the Castro Valley Library on Norbridge Avenue. The Finance and Administration Committee met earlier today and will be reported under item 15. Madam Secretary, roll call, please.
Director Katz?
Present.
Coleman?
Present.
Patterson?
Present.
Lenny?
Here.
Mellon?
Present.
McIntosh?
Here.
President Young?
Here. Okay. Pledge of Allegiance. Where's the... Oh, there it is. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. There are no announcements from closed session. I have four cards for public comment. If there's anyone else for public comment, please fill out a blue speaker card and present it to the gentleman in the black shirt over there. Oh, actually, the fourth card is for agenda item number 5, so we will hold that. First, Mr. Walden Carlson, you have 3 minutes.
Madam President, members of the board and staff, appreciate the opportunity to speak today. And I apologize to those from the Finance Committee because they've already heard me talk once before already. But I would like to talk about the Tier 3 rates as they currently exist and as are being proposed. Tier 3 rates have increased by 55% since 2014. So they started out at $4.42, gone to $6.83. If you add the elevation charge that's applied to those who live in an inland area that is higher than the coastal area, that brings it up to $7.59 per unit. In summer watering season, that creates some extremely high bills, and I believe that because of the fact that the usage there is higher because of the climate, not because of, you know, wasted water or anything like that. It clearly is an unfair type of billing to pass on to those who live in the hotter areas. And that being the case, it's my belief that this is also a violation of Prop 218. The Board of Directors, and I would like to address all of you, I believe have a responsibility to not just the people who live in your ward, but to the customer base as a whole. And if you have a situation where some of your customers are being unfairly billed, I would really ask you to seriously look and objectively say, we need to do something a little bit different. From my perspective, just as a starter, reducing the Tier 3 rates by 10% to offset the 21% that was applied in 2015 would be a good start. It's not a solution, but at least it would help for right now. There's a lot of different ways that the rates can be adjusted, and so I don't claim to be able to be an expert in that regard, but I do think that there's something that needs to be done in order to make the rate structure more balanced between those who live in the hotter areas and those who live in the cooler areas. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer. Thank you.
Next, I don't know which of you would like to go first. The first card I had was Ethan Maganis.
Yes, thank you, board members. I have here, if you please, pass. We're here about, we're in front of you 2 weeks ago, 317 Lester Avenue, Oakland. We got our water disconnected improperly, legally. Please, there's no reason why we cannot have water while your district is going through the process of putting in a new meter. The place was occupied. We had people there. The people were thrown out. It is now vacant. It's just a wreck. It's under threat from criminals, arsonists, and everybody else, as was the case in the past. We were under fire. We're arsoned 2.5 years ago. We're rebuilding. And here it is. We're really facing same circumstances again. It's very, very sad. We need your intervention, please. You need to try to make it understand to your staff that we need to have water. If you have a process about water, bigger meter, money, and what have you, we followed all the rules all the time. We follow your rules. You follow your regulations. We paid. We acted as directed. We interacted with your staff. We're interacting with you. We cannot be without water. Even in the interim, we need to have water. If it took them 10 minutes to take out those 2 meters, for whatever reason, it should only take 10 minutes again to reconnect it again. Why do they run through excuses? It should be equal to this. I mean, these are some legal wizard told them that they should not talk or about or put the back meter in there again in the interim. We need to have water. How can we work? How can people live? How it just doesn't make any sense. The original submittal was 2.5 years ago. We submitted all the plans. We don't have anything in hiding, and we have always met and followed the rules and regulations. So as a result of getting these meters out, the city yanked out the occupancy just for that same reason. It's in written format. They have it. And please, I put it on the record here on the public. If something terrible, thank God, please God, not happen, it does happen, I hold this organization responsible for that. Please. Now, these people, my opinion, and they're very, very courteous and civilized, but they're behaving out of spite. They're trying to do something that it's really illogical. They're trying to represent some kind of a legal position that is not untenable. We paid you whatever you asked for. We gave you all the papers and everything else. 2 months now, and who knows what. And we're trying to work with each one of those departments. It looks like every department has its own kingdom and its own realm of, I don't know whether they listen to the board. It's really frustrating. Please do something.
Peter Maganis? And if I'm mispronouncing your name, please correct me.
Good afternoon, board. As you can tell, we've been through a lot in dealing with this process and the bureaucracy and some of the timelines and some of the situations. We were in front of you 2 weeks ago, and I think there may have been some directive or some effort or prioritization to get it through the new development, new business portion of the process. I believe now it is stuck in the yard. In the email there, we have some numbers for Mr. Chaz White. I believe his supervisor is Mark something. I forget his name, pardon me. But if there's some directive that the board could give for prioritization for the yard to make this a priority, it would greatly help the long, frustrating, as you can hear, situation that we've been through at a property that has not had water for 2 months. We are unable to sanitize it. We're unable to keep it clean. We're unable to do basic human necessities. We can't flush toilets. It's really become an extremely bad situation over there. And this is all just surface level on top of some of the other stuff, including that we haven't received any response from any of these emails, from any of the requests for an explanation of why our water was cut off. We haven't heard from East Bay Mud substantively on any of these matters. So getting past a lot of this stuff, it would really help if I think some of these departments had a directive from the board, heard from the board. It's difficult within their groups to function amongst each other. I'm not sure how the internal process works, but I think it would really help from the board to give some sort of prioritization or help for that yard to make this a priority and get this off everyone's hands here, because it's really becoming a major, major issue. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Alex, thank you.
Go ahead.
Peter.
I thought
we were going to get a report on this or a memo.
I was going to point out, thank you, Director Coleman, that we provided a report on this. It's as a part of the materials, May 23rd information memo. And what the report says really over the course of two pages is that the Magnanises have known for 2 years that water service was necessary, potable water service was necessary, and that only after the district removed the two 5/8 inch meters that were there from the prior single family residential dwellings did the Magnanises come in and make payment under protest for the potable water service. The facility requires a 3-inch line, and the district has put it in queue. As you board members are all well aware, you always get requests from developers seeking to expedite service. We will work to try to expedite service here, but we don't want to jump in front of somebody else just because someone hasn't taken the opportunity over the course of 2 years to make payment. So the information is in your
material. I apologize. I know I got it. I get too many emails, and I think it fell through the cracks. So that's all my fault for not catching that memo.
Cards, and typically that would take about 12 weeks. So we'll see what we can do, but it's not going to happen tomorrow.
And is there a communication, that can
we could, if you'd like, we can transmit or share today. In fact, I can give my copy, the info memo summary that we provided to the board. Right, that's correct. And
like I said, we haven't received anything. We've received no specific response substantively whatsoever. And I think that the way that Mr. Coates is characterizing it as simply as we haven't paid is an extreme oversimplification of a very complicated and long drawn out process, and regardless of the different timelines, no customer should be without water during this transitional process, regardless of what the back and forth are. Everybody's reasonable, and to have a back and forth is something that's natural. Deciding what waters are, what credits should be given, how large the pipe is, how large it shouldn't be, it's a dynamic process. But to be cut off and given zero explanation for that, the idea that somebody would be cut off during this process at all, I think, is really the biggest problem.
The memo is not that short. It's actually goes into quite some detail, and we are not permitted to engage in conversation about an issue that's not on our agenda. But you're free to take that and continue
your
conversations with staff. Hopefully you'll get connected appropriately and get your occupancy permit from the city soon.
Thank you so much. We hope that the yard is able to push us along.
Next we have, actually for item 5, is there anyone else for public? Okay. We will move on to the consent calendar. There are 12 items for consideration. I would like to pull item 8, and we have a speaker on item 5. And we have a speaker on the general consent calendar, I guess. It's kind of a more of a public forum comment, I think, I believe. Where's Fergus? Okay, pulling item 4 also. So we're pulling item 4, item 5, and item 8. from consent calendar. If there's any other...
Move the remainder.
Second.
Okay, the remainder of the consent calendar has been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Item four, Carlos Ladon.
Apologize. I should have been clear when I filled out the blue card. I wasn't expecting you to pull it. I just wanted to merely say thank you. I know you get a lot of heat during these meetings, so we just wanted to come by and say we appreciate doing business with East Bay Mud and say thank you.
Great.
In that case, I'll move the item.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item five, we have a Speaker Randy Hernandez.
Good afternoon, Board of Directors, staff. My name is Randy Hernandez, and I'm here to speak on the O2 Tower plant painting. Local 44 opposes this contract now as work based on the lack of maintenance staff at SD1, which has only added one additional plant maintenance mechanic position in the last 20-plus years, but has added two reclamation plants as well as fog and food waste processing to the wastewater department. During the last 10 years of my 22-year career as a plant maintenance mechanic at SD1, I've seen the effects of ongoing deferred maintenance at SD1, whereas equipment and infrastructure deteriorates to the point of no return, requiring replacement instead of maintenance or very, very expensive repairs, usually done by contractors. This is especially true for the painting and sealing and coating of maintenance of our equipment and infrastructure. In addition to the lack of staffing at the maintenance department, SD1 has lost many plant maintenance mechanics and electricians to our clean water side due to the nature of our environment. Our maintenance staff takes pride in our work, and we take ownership of our plant. And when we do a project, we know we're there to stay. Contractors, not to talk bad about them, there's real good ones, but unfortunately we are tied to which contractor we can actually hire. It's a low bid process, of course. And that offers a whole different story. Speak to me sometime on that. I can give you some examples. We need to increase the maintenance staffing at SD1 to properly maintain our plant and facilities. I'd like to close by sharing a recent experience on May 17th. At 9 o'clock at night, I was called out to SD1 for an emergency repair. Plant and maintenance mechanics on a call like other maintenance staffing, except the painters, of course. It was a fine-screwed equipment, and when I arrived and I proceeded to lock out the equipment, I was informed of the equipment that I was about to work on. It has electrically not been repaired. The electric brake on it did not hold. I had to take other steps to provide safety for myself while I worked on this piece of equipment. This is the most recent one that, as you can see, I devised an alternate to plan to enable repair for the call out and proceeded to go ahead and make the repair. I believe the district would save money by increased staffing and less need for contracting out major projects as a result of deferred maintenance. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I guess I would just share that as a part of the BD1 for this, we did seek to explain how many painters the district currently has. We have 2 in wastewater and 11 on the water side. And this is a painting project that involves, it's a significant facility. We have a photograph if you'd like to see it. And it involves a very tall, 3-story high towers and facilities. We could do it with district forces, but it would take the majority of our resources for one project. Have to take waterside resources and apply them to wastewater. And all of the waterside resources are currently occupied doing, as the board is aware, we've got a lot of steel tanks, other facilities that require painting. So we viewed that a one-time contracting out to do the lead abatement and the painting, which will require significant scaffolding, would make sense, but we weren't able to come to an understanding with Local 444, and so we're recommending contracting out. If you'd like to see the picture, it does speak. It will help you appreciate the magnitude of the job.
Lead abatement something that district forces have experience with?
District forces can do and have done lead abatement work as a part of projects. Of course, this is a significant project.
How would you describe the backlog that's referenced in the BD1?
I could turn to our staff and I can speak to, maybe speaking mostly to the water side backlog, ask Clifford Chan to share that. Clifford, are you in a position to talk about water side painter backlog?
Yes. Right now, this is the time that we're doing all the maintenance work on our
time when it's not wet. We do all of our maintenance, the corrosion control on our tanks and other facilities. So as far as a backlog, I mean, they are fully utilized right now on the water side.
With current forces, when would that backlog be satisfied?
Well, we'd have to look at that. I don't have that number off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. Is there currently a recruitment for the vacancy that exists?
We have another vacancy that's ongoing with the recruitment.
I'm just trying to think through. Does it if you had to fill all those vacancies, or if you had to, if the district between the water and the wastewater side filled an additional position and flexibly staffed an additional position, what would that scenario look like in terms of if we would be left with some kind of inefficiency at the end of it? When would we hit that problem if we staffed? If we accomplish this project with district forces?
My understanding of the wastewater project right now, they require six FTEs, six painters, to do this work over a course of 2 years. And that would, you know, use up, you know, 60% plus of our existing painters on the water side. And that's a resource that we don't have available right now.
Could you address the issue of cost savings that could be managed or
better suited for Eileen to answer that question.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, board. So just to clarify, the water side has 11 painters, and wastewater system only has 2 painters. The one vacancy that currently exists is within the wastewater department, and the recruitment is underway. Even when we hire that painter, we won't be able to do this job. As Alex expressed, to do this job, it's expected to take 6 painters. There's 2 facilities that are 77 feet tall. The 4 towers are 44 feet tall. They've experienced corrosion. The oxygen plant is a critical part of the wastewater treatment process. So even when we fill that vacancy in the wastewater department, we have enough of a painting backlog to keep them busy. This work to deal with the corrosion and painting of the O2 plant is projected to take 2 summers and a crew of 6 painters and 1 foreman. So even when the wastewater plant is fully staffed with its 2 painters, we couldn't do this. This is really a peak workload area. I agree with Randy Hernandez that we do have a maintenance backlog. We're working on it. Our plant was built in the 50s. Secondary treatment was added on in the 70s. And as you know, we awarded a contract for the main wastewater treatment plant integrated master plan, where we're going to look at our aging infrastructure and how best to deal with it. In the short term, we need to deal with the corrosion of the O2 plant, but we need 6 painters. The water side's got a total of 11 with a current backload. We all want to do this painting in the summertime when it's not raining. So even when we fill the painting position in the wastewater department, we're not prepared to do this work. It's a peak workload issue. And we have enough of a backlog in both the water and the wastewater system to keep painters busy with our current staffing.
When you say six painters, peak load, summertime, this is not something but by hiring a few more painters and spreading out over time,
Because you got this O2 facility, as I said, the coal tanks are 77 feet tall, and then the four tanks are 44 feet tall. And so we need six painters in the summertime now that's hopefully, knock on wood, stopped raining, that we can now get out and paint it. It's got to be finished painting, because it's outside painting, before the winter hits again. So we don't want to hire six painters for this project for this summer. Then what are we going to do in the wintertime, and then hire them back again next summer? So we want to deal with this O2 plant, which is critical, and the corrosion, as you can see. So these coal boxes, so the way this is planned is the coal boxes are 77 feet tall. The plan is to do one part of it one summer and then do the other part the second summer. There's four liquid tanks. They're 44 feet tall. There's corrosion throughout the facilities, as Randy Hernandez says. We're in agreement on that. It needs to be painted. But we don't want to hire six painters for this particular project for this summer and then hire them again for next summer. So this really meets the needs of contracting out. And we have enough work for our current two painters when we hire that second painter to keep them busy without having them do this project.
So, a couple things that come to my mind. One is, I can appreciate this has got to be outside work. But what is the volume of work on the inside that perhaps we would do well to look at maybe there being an additional painter so that we have less to hire from an outside contractor? That's one part. Second part is, how much overtime are we racking up here? Because one of the things that is a truism is you reach a magic point when you've got so much overtime that it's cheaper to hire a regular full-timer. And I guess I would like, I don't do this often, but I would like an analysis that I could look at above and beyond just this verbal presentation. So a report, if you could.
Absolutely, we can provide a report. I can do that.
One suggestion I might make is part of the master plan that you look at this issue, get what amount of work going forward as part of this is going to need, is such a slug of work that it really goes beyond the capacity of existing staff to do, but then looks at this issue of what's the right amount of ramp up to keep from being in a deferred maintenance situation that causes, you know, peak, workloads to happen.
That's what we're planning to do, because we want to know out of the master plan, what processes are we going to keep? We don't want to be investing in processes that are going to go away. So once we know what our master plan is, what facilities we're going to keep, and which ones aren't in the long term, we want to look at right-sizing and making sure there may be certain positions that we need to increase, and then other ones we may not need as much of. So that's something we want to look at.
I guess, if I might, Madam President, mm-hmm. I guess one other thought that comes to mind is we have so many facilities over so many places, and I understand the size on the water versus the wastewater. I guess part of the analysis that I'd like, Alex, is something that would say, well, you know, if we could do with whatever the additional amount, or not we could do. Here's what we are doing with our amount on the water side, and how many can we lend over to wastewater, and how that figures into the calculation of the overall of painters and the amount of overtime they're doing each side. Because on the water side, I dare say we wouldn't have that many painters if we didn't have round the calendar work. And can we help ourselves? Because we know that it's always better when our workers can do the job because they are invested in it. Contractors claim to be invested in it until they get their check.
We'll provide the information. I would just share that as a part of the budget, which the board will be considering in 2 weeks, we've done a very rigorous analysis to understand what is appropriate for additional staff, and we are adding considerable additional staff, but we'll put the microscope on the painters and provide that information so you have that as a part of the context for considering the action on the budget and all of the staffing plan, if that works.
Move the item.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Item 8. This is the trench soils master plan, and reading through the BD1, and I did not go into the longer documents or have the opportunity to review the planning committee materials, but I know it was discussed at the last meeting that I was absent for. Given our experience last summer and fall, I would like to make sure that one of our principal objectives and goals for this master plan is minimizing community disruption and maximizing community collaboration as a stated goal and objective of the master plan. So that's why.
Yes, we will make sure that taking the community impacts into account is part of one of the key principles.
I'll move the item. Who seconded?
Bill.
Bill Patterson second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Moving on to determination and discussion.
Item, we'll have a brief presentation. This was considered and recommended by the Finance Committee, is authorization of the East Bay Mud Water System Revenue Bonds, Series 2019A, in an aggregate amount not to exceed $225 million, and our Treasurer, Robert Haney, will provide the presentation.
Does the Finance Committee have a recommendation?
Yes, the Finance Committee unanimously approved and recommended to the full body that this matter go forward.
Is somebody prepared to move the item?
I would move the item. I listened also earlier to the Finance Committee presentation.
So there's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Great presentation, Robert.
It's tough when the board reads their material.
Item 14, General Manager's Report.
Thank you, President Young. I have three items I hope to share. The first is that there's an info memo in your materials sharing that we'll be having a public meeting on the budget and rates on the evening of Tuesday, June the 4th, at our headquarters in Oakland. The intent is just to provide an opportunity for the public to ask questions and learn more about the rates and the budget and the rates. And at this point, President Young has committed to representing the board. We'd like to know if any other board members are considering participating. That will help us with our secretary's noticing requirements. And so,
my wife would kill me since she's been gone a month and I pick her up that day if I were to go to the meeting.
So it'll be at 6:30 in the evening on Tuesday, June the 4th.
Just to note, I would be interested in an evening meeting, but I'm presenting to the Emeryville City Council that evening and won't be able to attend.
Yep. He will not, Director.
Okay.
Right. And so then that allows me to segue into another topic. For some time now, the Contra Costa County Grand Jury has been seeking information about our budget and rate setting approach. And they issued a report, which we shared with the board, which concludes that the district is in compliance with applicable law as it relates to how we do our rate setting, but suggested further improvements in the area of communication, an area that we strive to continuously improve in. And to that end, we will be working to prepare a written response back to the grand jury. And as a part of that, what we're considering is recommending a community outreach approach that is similar to the approach that we did during the drought rate setting process about 4 years ago, where we had an evening meeting during the budget and rate setting process, north, south, east, and west. In fact, we had a meeting here at this building during that time. So that would work to address the grand jury's recommendation for further outreach. This year we'll just have one meeting, but it, going forward we'll make it a practice to have four meetings. I don't need you to commit to anything now that says for 18 to 24 months from now, but we'll prepare a draft response which addresses some other things in the report and share it with you, and appreciate that you just share any thoughts or concerns or suggestions with me, and I'll work to adjust the report as appropriate. And the third item is that at your places we have the updated Speakers Bureau. I do appreciate that many board members have been expending considerable time reaching out to their cities, town councils, other community meetings, sharing information about the budget and rate process. And so you'll see that as we continue on going forward, that there continue to be presentations both by the board and staff in those areas. So thank you very much.
Now, any questions for the general manager? It's hard to see everybody. We're on to reports and director comments. The special sustainability energy planning and sustainability energy committee, the planning and the planning committee, and the legislative and human resources committee minutes are included in your packets. We'll now have a brief report from the Finance and Administration Committee, which met earlier today.
Yes, Madam President. The committee did meet this morning, and it received information on the monthly investment transaction report, which was very thorough. And all those items were found to be intact, approved unanimously by the committee. MUD Series 219A water system revenue bonds were thoroughly vetted, and they were unanimously passed on to you, and that's the item you approved under the determination earlier today. The last item that we reviewed was climate action policy adoption. This matter moved to us from the Sustainability and Energy Committee for its review, particularly around financial implications. That was adopted. And this policy will advance the district's efforts to understand the impacts of climate change and take appropriate action to mitigate and adapt to those impacts through sustainable activities that manage long-term economic, environmental, and human resource benefits. That was the final action approved by the committee, and that's your report.
Thank you, Director Patterson. And that will come to the full board at our next meeting, or?
The 11th, yes, okay. Next meeting.
Okay, are there, item 16, are there other items for future consideration? I have one question. In our legislative and report on June 11th, will we be getting a presentation on the safe and affordable?
I will just say that that is sort of to be determined based on how things evolve currently in Sacramento. At a minimum, we'll provide information, but we may not be in a position to provide a recommendation. But is that things are changing, as I'm sure you're aware here.
Yeah, well, that's why I was asking.
Right.
Things are,
so we'll provide information, but maybe not asking for a policy position.
Okay. Item 17, director comments.
I just had one. I included in my presentation here in Castro Valley on the Ward 7 the reports and information we got on climate change in previous meetings, and it was very well received. Folks, I think, appreciate the idea that we're not just sitting on the sidelines waiting, if you will, to wonder if the rain's going to fall or not. So I encourage whenever possible, when we're doing presentations, I think our constituents, our ratepayers need to know that we're not sitting on the sidelines, that we're actively addressing this, notwithstanding how Washington may appreciate it. I'm sorry, that was an editorial comment.
Director Patterson?
Yes, I wanted to call to the district's attention, and particularly to the board, that we have had an extraordinary number of people passing on to the great above. And I have two more that followed me over the weekend and the week on my return from the State Water Conference, Ruth Beckford being one who wished nothing to acknowledge her death and passing and no events. But as I think earlier reported to you, she's responsible for the park in the city of Oakland that's named for me. And her achievement was there when I came to the city. Don't know why she doesn't want to be recognized, but the Montclarian, every place you look, something is said about her by way of comments in the media. But there will be no function. And she doesn't leave a family to send anything to. The other one is Mr. Garfield Finley of Los Angeles, California, one of my best friends, who has always supported every activity here in the North that I've been recognized for, passed over the weekend. And I'll be sending letters in this case to him. The third thing are two recognitions that I'd like to share with you. One came to me by way of the Montclarian, and that's the magazine that they put out. That's in Director Young's ward. And they recognized me for my work at the Anyway, they were recognizing me for the work I did in getting the outdoor amphitheater in Joaquin Miller Park rehabilitated before I left the city. And there's an article in the paper itself that credits me with doing that work. That infrastructure, electrical, seating, and all, is old. It needs to be replaced again. But I was glad to have Harriet Slater, who is one of the two proponents that heads up the Woodminster Amphitheater and that summer musical series that they do, give me that recognition. And finally, there's a book that's published by the former editor of the Oakland Tribune, and it's Mary Ellen Butler. It's to her father and mother. Her father was Josh Rose, our first African-American council member in Oakland, and his wife, Virginia. And it tells about their coming to Oakland, and it goes through the history of their involvement. Josh was first elected to the council, and he assisted me in getting into the Recreation Department when he was on the board of directors for parks, and it was just for recreation, not for parks. And they hired me directly. They had administrative authority. And then he is first in the Oakland Rotary, the third Rotary Club in the United States, and he brought me into that organization along with Doc Hess and many other Oakland proponents to serve on Oakland Rotary 3. Josh headed all of the YMCA activities in the East Bay, ultimately, starting at Market Street with Northwest Oakland YMCA. And he's a champion of people like our first African-American mayor, Lionel Wilson, George Scotland, for whom our convention center is named, Sam Golden, for whom our first fire chief. All of these people came up under the tutelage of Josh Rose. And he wrote in this book a letter, which I want to read just, it's real short. Spoken like a true native, the letter ended to be continued, but was never mailed. The second unmailed, undated, Dear Bill, it began. I'll try again to put a letter together to you. I have not been able to finish a paragraph. My writing has broken down into mistakes, scribbling, and what have you. I will try, like the devil, to finish this letter, even if I have to cut it short, which I dislike. That was a letter he wrote it to me, again thanking me, because his wife, Virginia, was named Oakland Mother of the Year in 1982. And there's a picture here with myself, the minister of his church, Ann Waddell, the chairman of our commission, and Virginia Rose, who was Mother of the Year that year, an activity I conducted for 18 years. That is it, Madam President.
Thank you, Director Patterson. As always, your imprint on the city is felt widely and deeply. Any other director comments?
Just that we had got a lot of precip in our watershed last weekend, and snow too.
Yeah, it's a big water year for sure. Our last item, an annual moment that we take each year when the district honors our employees and the contributions that they make to the district. Today, we'd like to close our meeting in honor of those employees and retirees who have passed away in the last year. Their names will appear on the screen in front of us while we observe a moment of silence in remembrance of them. We will adjourn our meeting, reconvening next on June 11th, at our regular office, 375 11th Street in Oakland.